Hello everyone, and welcome to a new Qisasuna or Our Stories episode. I'm your host for today's episode, Ahmed Shamsan, and I hope you're all having a good day. I'm sure many of you have experienced the magic of the Qatar World Cup 2022. The mesmerizing opening ceremony left us in awe with its symbolic expression of welcome, generosity, and Arab hospitality. But what truly set this opening apart was its uniqueness and out-of-the-ordinary approach. One particular moment that captured our hearts was the conversation between Ghanem al-Muftah and Morgan Freeman. It began with Ghanem reciting a powerful verse from Surah Al-Hujurat. Ya ayyuha an-nasu inna khalaqnakum min dhakari wa untha wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qaba'ila lita'arafu inna akramakum 'inda Allahi atqakum inna Allaha 'alimun khabir. O mankind, indeed we have created you from male and female and made you peoples and tribes, that you may know one another. Indeed, the most noble of you in the sight of Allah is the most righteous of you. This conversation beautifully called for acceptance and of differences and celebrated diversity. Ghanem's participation as a person with special needs in a ceremony witnessed by billions around the world symbolized unity in diversity. In this episode of Qisasuna, we will delve deeper into the importance of diversity, equity, inclusion and accessibility, not in sports events only, but most particularly in working education environments in Yemen. We will explore inspiring stories that highlight how embracing differences can lead to a more inclusive society. So sit back, relax, and join us on this journey as we share stories that celebrate our shared humanity while embracing our unique identities. Welcome to Qisasuna, where every voice is heard and every story matters. Here with me is my friend Abir, a dedicated member of WeCare team. So can you tell us more about WeCare?
Yeah, sure. So basically, WeCare is a dedicated team of Qisasuna alumni who are passionate about making a difference in lives of individuals with special needs. And our primary objective is to enhance work and education prospects for this marginalized group, as they often face exclusion and limited opportunities. And our motivation is to pursue this goal stems from our profound experience with Qisasuna Cohort 4. And you know, during this cohort, we had the privilege of interacting with individuals who had motor, hearing, and speech disabilities. And we were shocked to know that there are 4 million people with special needs living among us in Yemen, according to statistics. And in fact, that number has grown significantly due to conflict-related injuries caused by the widespread use of explosive weapons and to the indirect consequences of the conflict, such as diseases going untreated due to the disrupted or inaccessible health services. All these people do not have access to their basic rights and are being held back and gagged just because they have special needs. Throughout listening to their personal stories in Qisasuna, we were deeply moved by the injustice they endured in various aspects of their lives solely due to their special needs.
That is very touching. But what kinds of injustice exactly are we talking about here?
To start with, let's take the lack of awareness. According to the interviews we conducted, we found out that early detection of disabilities enormously affects the chances of better improvement for disabled children, and it helps the family go over any trauma quickly. Yet, this lack of awareness leads to late intervention in helping the disabled and decreases their chances of healthy growth and development. Another major injustice to highlight is the lack of employment opportunities, making it difficult for them to provide for themselves and their families. Additionally, their basic needs often go unmet, particularly in terms of public education, despite living in a crisis-affected community where individuals with special needs are particularly marginalized according to the Humanity and Inclusion Organization. The government and local foundation make little effort to improve their situation. In spite of all of this, In spite of all these circumstances, there are some people with special needs who are able to pursue their education normally, and more who could even make their own jobs opportunities, and that is only because they had great support from their families.
So, can you give us some examples of these inspiring people?
Of course, and prior to this episode, we conducted interviews with people who had inspiring opinions and stories related to this issue. We had the privilege of interviewing Dr. Wafa, who shared her inspiring journey and perspective on the issue at hand. And you know, Dr. Wafa's story came to our attention through her captivating TEDx C-Line talk, where she discussed her experience raising her son Tariq, who has autism spectrum disorder. And Dr. Wafa's unwavering support and encouragement for Tariq throughout his high school years not only showcased her education as a parent, but also served as a catalyst for her own educational journey. Rather than viewing Tariq's education as a burden, she saw him as a source of inspiration.
Whoa! What an interesting way she has in seeing things! I really admire it. But how exactly did Tariq contribute her education?
During her visits to school catering to individuals with special needs, Dr. Wafa observed the remarkable work done by specialists in that field, and this experience ignited a desire within her to become one of those professionals and provide even more better care for her own son. And she embarked on this path by first completing her high school studies at her 30s and then obtaining a bachelor's degree in turned by challenges. Dr. Wafa then continued to pursue higher education and achieved a master's degree in psychology. Currently, she is preparing for her next milestone in her academic journey, a PhD in psychology.
Well, it seems that we have stereotyped the whole community on the matter of neglecting people with special needs. There are indeed families who see their disabled children as motives.
That's right. On the other hand, there are families who treat their children entirely the opposite way. For instance, there are families who abuse their own disabled children, discriminate against them, and keep them out of sight. They don't give them the chance to show their potential capabilities or give them the right to public education.
So, I guess society has the power to implant these misconceptions inside the minds of the disabled and their families.
That's true. Misconceptions and false stereotypes among society about people with special needs have exposed them to discrimination and lack of education and work chances, and put them before great challenges. In Tariq's case, the biggest challenge he faced was due to the lack of understanding and acceptance of him and his needs. This caused the children to bully Tariq at school, abuse him, and make fun of him. They even called him the class clown, only because he was different from them. Another example is Ibrahim, a deaf young man who made his own way, creating a job opportunity for himself in the field of photography. He states, "Society's treatment of people with special needs is bad, as they are abstracted in various transactions, unlike what happens with healthy people."
Ibrahim is a real source of pride for all of us and a great example of diligence and determination. He could challenge society's rejection of people with special needs, but how is he able to communicate with people in his workplace?
That's a very good question, not only regarding Ibrahim's situation, but regarding our goals for this podcast as well. If we are really trying to increase the chances of deaf people being included and equalized, then we need to spread sign language. We had an interview with Arig Ahmed Abbas, a sign language translator and national trainer for people with special needs, a deaf group, an educational mentor for teachers with people with special needs. She says, teaching sign language and spreading it in various facilities help to break down barriers and increase job opportunities and quality education for deaf. Despite Yemen law has introduced a 500% quota for public employment of persons with disabilities, this law is neglected because people do not have the basics of sign language, and therefore, whenever you are hiring a deaf person, you will also have to hire a sign language interpreter. And going back to Ibrahim, it wasn't the same with him. Ibrahim once tried to apply to work as a salesman in a clothing store, but the owner refused his application and embarrassed him, saying we don't need deaf people in our store. Ibrahim was deeply hurt because of the owner's violent response, but later he had the chance to work with Rumus Association as a teacher and a photographer, where he did not need any interpretation since Rumus is a center that teaches deaf people. Now he's working with SOS Foundation, and through his dedication, he was able to introduce all the staff to sign language so that they can communicate with him normally.
What a great determination he has. I guess that spreading a sign language won't only increase their chance of having decent jobs, but will also make them in touch with the news, with people's conversations, and with everything that happens around them.
Well, that's true. We conducted limited research studying the level of interaction of society with disabled people. Almost all participants rated society's interaction with 5 out of 10. And that's due to the lack of awareness, the lack of acceptance, and the lack of including disabled in activities and conversations. Moreover, in our interview with Ibrahim, we also had Ali Nasser, a deaf recent high school graduate who participated in Qisasna Cohort 4. And according to both of them, deaf people tend to hide their sadness and distraughtness when they try to talk with someone who doesn't speak sign language. But they feel really hurt, excluded, and neglected.
Oh, I remember Ali Nasser. He won first place at the level of the Republic. I can recall a dozen of offers and prizes that he was promised with. So what's going on with him now?
Ibrahim as well won third place at the level of the Republic in his year, and was also promised a million offer from governmental and private entities. Yet neither of them got anything from what they were promised. Since the deaf are only allowed to study literary section at high school and study computer major only at the university, Ibrahim and Ali were only seeking a scholarship that will allow them to study the field that they love abroad. However, when the time came and they start asking about what they were promised, they were told that there are no scholarships granted for people with special needs.
Oh no! And what are they studying right now?
Ibrahim had a diploma in photography, and Ali's thinking about studying computer science next year. But making them confined to the study of the literary section only in high school by itself significantly reduces the number of specializations they can study in college. Still, they can only study computer science. What kind of unfairness is worse than this? And according to Eric, this limitation of educational opportunities causes the deaf to be monopolized and restricted in achieving their aspirations and goals.
According to the interviews you conducted, what are the suggested solutions that can help us make a diverse, fair, inclusive, and accessible community?
Dr. Wafa advocates for the establishment of government-funded health complexes, centers, and programs that can cater to the needs of people with disabilities, ensuring early detection and immediate education for families to create a sense of security and facilitate quicker recovery from any trauma. She also emphasized the pivotal role that the family plays in the development of the disabled child. She has a very inspiring motto for every woman and mother of a disabled child. You can change your child from being dependent on someone whom you can depend on. She says that every family of a disabled child should take their time to grieve and cry, but then they should stop putting down their child, because they have a great responsibility toward him. Moreover, she says that people with special needs should be treated exactly like their peers. They should not be treated unfairly. They should not be treated unfairly, causing them to be excluded, and they should not be treated with too much sympathy in a way that hides their abilities and make their peers feel jealous of them. Arit says that DEIA can only be achieved through the combined effort of disabled people themselves, their families, the community, and decision makers. They should have the determination to achieve their goals. Their families and community should be supportive and help them to confront the challenges, and they should be provided with the various chances of education and work. Finally, Ali and Ibrahim assure the benefits of programs like Qasasna. Their participation in Qasasna program gave them self-confidence and pride in who they are, made people know more about them and their bright minds, and enabled them to share their views with the whole world. The video podcast helped integrate the Access news faster and better, without the need for any intermediary to convey the news to them.
We hope that all these solutions soon come to reality. And I emphasize that a better community for people with special needs can only be made through our cooperation. Finally, to all people who feel excluded, neglected, and lonely, we care.